From KUAR News in Little Rock, I'm Jacob Kaufman. Mass shootings in schools, concerts, and even army bases are a pretty familiar specter in the United States of America over the last decade or so, and there's a lot of daylight between how a Democrat and a Republican second district congressman would seek to address it. I'll take a look coming up at the faces, some old and some new, hoping to represent Central Arkansas in the U.S. House of Representatives after November's election. What do they plan to do about guns and violence? It's not a new problem, but it's certainly one that has not been solved. There have been some calls for action. Arkansas's 2nd District Democratic candidates have plenty of ideas they're willing to work with. Arming teachers was one of President Trump's first reactions, but that's a no-go for the actual teachers that are running for this 2nd District House seat.
I think it's too risky. I think it puts kids in jeopardy of being caught in crossfire. I think it complicates SWAT teams' responses to situations when they don't know who might be carrying a loaded gun.
Gwen Combs knows the other side of gun, too. She's the only veteran in the contest. Her household has guns in it, as does that of her Democratic primary opponent, Paul Spencer, who's also an educator. He doesn't want to arm teachers either, but Spencer says if Congress is unwilling to do anything to tighten background checks or restrict certain gun sales, they need to put their money where their mouth is and actually make schools a hard target.
If you're going to do that, I would challenge the lawmakers, if they're not going to act in any way to mitigate the problem, since they seem to be pretty okay with this going down, to at least let's expend the money to protect the schools. They need to have, rather than having untrained novices, even with a concealed carry, why not have federally trained, federally funded security agents at every school, private, public, every single one?
The third entrant into the Democratic 2nd District primary isn't too enthusiastic about arming teachers either, but says it might make some sense in some circumstances. The state already has 13 schools with armed staff.
You know, if there's a local school district and there's a particular teacher who wants to do it, and on a very local basis they want to make that decision, then you know, that probably ought to be up to them. But as far as a national policy goes, I think we already put too much on our teachers.
As for French Hill, the incumbent Republican who endorses the president, well, Hill has not responded yet to KUAR's question about this issue. His stated interest, though, on a recent Talk Business and Politics interview, is in making sure the current background check laws actually work.
We've been let down by our background check system this year. We saw the Las Vegas shooter was dishonorably discharged from the Air Force. He should have been blocked from buying guns and ammunition and be in the background system. We saw this instance where this young man in Florida had been turned into an FBI tip line, and yet the FBI didn't pursue it.
Hill continued, saying he has acted to make it better already.
So I was one of the 70 members of Congress that wrote the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Administration to reconsider their regulation about the bump stock issue.
But abdicating congressional lawmaking to ATF rulemaking is an abandonment of leadership to some, like Spencer.
The idea of just giving the responsibility to ATF, where it's safely out of the hands of the legislators who don't want to touch this at all, I think is just a cowardly way out. This needs to be in the public discourse, and this needs to be done through the legislative branch. So I think those bump stocks, anything that modifies a weapon to become a machine gun, essentially.
Spencer says beyond that, the existing background check rules and laws just aren't very comprehensive.
We have all these laws with regards to HIPAA and things like that, but, you know, if somebody is adjudicated to be, mentally ill to the point where they're being involuntarily committed, or they've committed some kind of domestic problem, or they have a history of trying to harm themselves or somebody else, you know, the exact avenue towards doing that in a more robust way would take to me, it would seem to me you need a lot of medical professionals on board with that.
Combs echoed that.
Yes, it's important to consider domestic abuse, and not only in the ways that they're considered, that it's considered now. Currently, if a person is in a relationship, but they don't cohabitate, or they're not married, or they don't have children together, a restraining order can be issued against the person, and that person can still own a gun, and that's dangerous.
Tucker felt much the same.
You know, I've tried to work on this issue to the extent that I could in the state legislature. A couple bills that I filed last year, you know, one was to protect victims of domestic violence, make sure that there are no guns in their homes as they move forward, and then also to restrict access to loaded weapons for minors. Obviously, you can take your kid hunting, but this bill was directed toward leaving loaded firearms unattended in the presence of minors. And so, you know, those are some examples. You know, someone on the terrorist watch list should not be able to buy a gun. I mean, the list goes on.
But it's not all about background checks and gun show loopholes. There's the actual guns themselves. Tucker and Combs are okay with restricting some types of weapons that are sold to the public.
Yeah, you know, you would have to take a look at it. I think, you know, weapons of war that are designed for use overseas ought to be used in war overseas.
We don't need semi-automatic or automatic weapons. I know that automatic weapons are already banned, but semi-automatics are just as dangerous. I have fired an M16, which is the military equivalent of an AR-15, and there's no reason that a person needs to have those guns unless they intend to kill people.
Spencer additionally thinks that less firearms in society is generally a good thing, but he doesn't have much hope that Congress that takes National Rifle Association money will ever get that far.
You know, the Congress knows that the NRA, they hold the key to their victories and defeats when it comes to the election cycle. They're essentially vassals to the NRA. A lot of these congressmen, particularly, you know, Mr. Hill, he certainly knows that. I know Mr. Hill's a good man, and I just, for the life of me, can't understand why he doesn't repudiate that money. And, you know, we all need to act on our own accord and not have a little moneyed angel or devil sitting on our shoulders telling us how we need to legislate.
Congressman Hill has not expressed support for bans on certain types of guns or age limits. Though President Trump has. The Republican president thinks Republican lawmakers are chicken on the issue.
It doesn't make sense that I have to wait till I'm 21 to get a handgun, but I can get this weapon at 18. I don't know. So I was just curious as to what you did in your bill.
We didn't address it, Mr. President. Look, I think
you know why? Because you're afraid of the NRA, right?
Representative Hill was not part of that discussion with the president. Hill is often cited, though, as receiving more NRA support than any member of the U.S. House, though nearly all of the $1 million plus came through indirect support, through independent NRA expenditures rather than direct campaign contributions. Hill told Talk Business and Politics, Roby Brock, though, it just doesn't influence him.
How does someone not feel like you, having benefited from $1 million worth of NRA spending, is going to influence your vote?
Well, it just doesn't. I have people who contribute to me from all over, all walks of life, and I do my best job representing the people of Arkansas.
Tucker says he can't say whether it influences Hill or not, but points to Hill's voting record.
And when you have an overwhelming amount of money from one organization like that, even if Congressman Hill is totally objective about it, it does create, you know, the issue of the appearance. And when your voting record lines up with that, then you would rather not see something like that happen.
Hill has voted to repeal an Obama-era background check rule after Trump came into office back in February 2017. NPR's Scott Horsley reported that it stopped the Social Security Administration from reporting people with severe mental disabilities and those unable to care for themselves to an FBI database, in essence, making it easier for people with mental illness to buy guns. Hill insists, though, that Congress is hard at work on the gun issue and on mental health. However, if the president's latest budget is any guide, it might be a struggle. President Trump's budget calls for a $665 million cut to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration and a 30% cut to the National Institute of Mental Health. So, what's step one? What's a seemingly agreed-upon, easy step that Congress could take? Perhaps the Dickey Amendment?
Absolutely. I think that should be funded post-haste. That is step one.
It doesn't make any sense for the CDC not to be able to research the causes of gun violence.
Gun-related violence is absolutely a critical element of public health.
That amendment blocks the Centers for Disease Control from collecting basic data and research about gun violence. Former Arkansas Congressman Jay Dickey said he regretted that law being passed, his namesake law, before his death in April 2017. No word yet to KUAR from Congressman Hill whether he could go along with that. I'm Jacob Kaufman, KUAR News.